Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Learn with Dr. G. I'm Dr. G, or Sarah, and today we're going to be learning about Python and data science with two of my favorite things ever, space and inspirational animated films. If you haven't seen yet, Microsoft has partnered with Netflix to bring unique coding and data science lessons inspired by the film Over the Moon. Over the Moon is an adventure about a bright young girl named Feifei who builds a rocket ship to fly to the moon to prove the existence of the moon goddess Chang'e. She's fueled by determination and a passion for science to accomplish the unimaginable. This film has quickly become one of my favorites because what inspired me to go into tech and coding was the inspirational stories from my childhood. I didn't learn how to code until I was an adult, but when I discovered it, I dove head first because it opened up an entirely new world that I never knew I could be a part of. And that's why I'm here with you today. This film re-sparked a sense of wonder and determination in myself, especially when I saw this.
It's you and me, Bungie. We're gonna prove she's real.
I'm gonna be there soon. In my rocket to the moon.
Oh, I did it!
Jen! Grandpa's diapers!
It's a long flight.
Ew.
What Feifei exhibits here isn't a thing of children. It's the exact kind of determination, failing forward, and creativity that I try to remind myself of every single day as I learn new things. And her journey to the moon is what inspired me to write these three modules on space exploration. In this episode of Learn with Dr. G, we're going to do a deep dive into one of these lessons. Today, we're going to talk about the role that data plays in preparing for moon missions. We're going to start by analyzing the Apollo missions and the samples of the moon rocks that the astronauts brought back down to Earth. And then we're going to use that analysis to predict how many samples the astronauts for the Artemis missions in 2024 might be able to bring down. And throughout all of this, we're going to maintain the determination that we've learned from Feifei. If you want to follow along, you can head over to aka.ms/learnwithdrg/overthemoon to find all of the Microsoft Learn modules and do it either with me right now or on your own later. So let's get started. So the first thing that you're going to need to do is set up your local environment. I'm not going to walk you through all of the steps here because we have a lot of resources on that, but I do want to show you those resources. So first of all, you're going to need Visual Studio Code. Now there's two places that I want to show you that will help you get your environment set up. So the first one is the Visual Studio Code Learn to Code site. Let's take a look. So here you can not only find ways of downloading Visual Studio Code, but you can also find some resources for how to get started. If you're on a Windows machine today, you can also check out this Python installer, which will not only install Visual Studio Code and Python, but also the Python extension. You might be watching this in the future, and we might already have one available for Mac, but if we don't yet, you can always head over to the Visual Studio Docs page, where in the Python category, we have a data science tutorial. And this one's going to walk you through how to install Visual Studio, how to install Visual Studio Code, Python, and the Python extension, and install all of the things that you might need to be able to run the code in this module. I've already set my environment up. Let me walk you through it for a minute. So this is my Visual Studio Code editor. Here, you'll see that I already have a folder called Over the Moon and another folder called Moon Rocks. This is where I'm going to have all of my code for this project. I also know that I have my Python extension installed because we can see that when I created this moonrocks.ipynb file here and I opened it, it opened it in this Jupyter Notebooks environment. We can tell that it's a notebook type of file because it's got these cells that I can run individually. I also know that I have my Python environment correctly set up because up here in the top right corner, we can see that I have my Python kernel ready to run. So let's make sure that we have everything set up. The first thing that we're going to need to do is import the pandas library. So let's do that. So what this line does is it's saying, go grab the library called pandas. And when you want to use it later on in this file, all you have to do is type PD in order to be able to use it. Let's make sure that this library imports correctly. With notebooks inside of Visual Studio Code, we can tell if a cell has finished executing by these little square brackets here. So we can see that the first cell to execute was this top one where we imported the pandas library. If the cell was still executing, there would be a green asterisk or a little star in between those brackets. This is really helpful when we're doing data exploration because sometimes we want to rerun cells, and the fact that they're numbered in order of execution means that if we go back and run one earlier, we know in what order and what data is being saved where. I'll show you that in a little bit, don't worry. If you noticed, when I went to go run this cell, I clicked on this play button here at the top left of the cell. This is the run cell button. At any point, if you want to run all of the cells in your file, you can always click on this fast forward button here at the top. If you want to run all of the cells above the one that you're currently on, you can press on this play button with the up arrow. If you want to run all of the cells that are below the one that you're currently on, you can press on this play button with the down arrow. And if you want to reset all of your cells so that you can rerun them fresh, you can click on this reset button here. The last one that's sometimes useful for me is this clear all output. I like this one because when I've gone through it once, sometimes I like to reset my kernel, clear all of my output, and then just run through them again and make sure I don't have any errors. All right, so we've imported our library, and the next thing to do is to import our data. Now, what data are we going to import? It's a great question. I invite you to head over to the NASA Lunar Rock Curation site. This is not only a curation of the lunar rocks, but of other sample gathering missions as well. But we're going to focus on the lunar missions. You can click on the sample catalogs menu option and then click on Apollo sample and photo database. This will take you to this site here. And if we click on all of the Apollo missions, notice that you can specify which landmark the samples were gathered near or which station. I just want all of the samples from all of the Apollo missions that landed on the moon. You click search, you'll see this huge, huge table full of all of the samples that were collected on all of the Apollo missions that landed on the moon. It's really neat to explore this. I got introduced to this by a couple of NASA scientists over the summer, and this is really what inspired this lesson. So we know that when Feifei flies to the moon, she doesn't account for Qin, her little brother, and his weight. She didn't expect him to be on the rocket with her. And one thing that we know about space exploration is that weight matters. We need to know exactly how much the rocket and the spaceships weigh in order to propel them out of our atmosphere. And we also need to know exactly how much everything on the spaceship weighs so that we can account for all of the resources that the astronauts will need to survive either in the spaceship orbiting moons or planets or landing on the surface of moons and planets. This very specific weight calculation that Feifei ran into trouble with in the film is a real challenge with space exploration. In addition to getting our astronauts up into space and orbiting planets and moons and landing on them, we also need to account for them coming back. Now, here we have an advantage because it doesn't take a ton of propulsion to get us in the right direction, and then we can rely on orbits and gravity to bring them home. But we do need to think about the crafts that we're designing, how much weight they can stand, and honestly, how much space there is left on there. So this got me thinking, if we know all of the samples that were collected on all of the Apollo missions, and we also know a little bit about the rockets and the spacecrafts that these Apollo missions used, then maybe with the little bit of knowledge that we have about what they're planning for the Artemis missions, we can start to figure out how many samples they might be able to bring back. The other really neat thing that I discovered about these samples is that for each sample that astronauts have collected, the scientists here on Earth have not only categorized them into the type of sample they are, for example, this one is an unsieved soil, but they also keep very precise track of how much of the sample is left over. Where are these samples going, you might ask? Well, a lot of researchers around the world request these samples to do research on, and educators in higher education and K-12 schools also request samples so that their students can learn about moon rocks. I really wish I knew about this. I would have been doing moon rock research. Well, this is still pretty fun though. So we know that we have a lot of samples here on Earth. We know that they've all been categorized into their types. And we know that a lot of researchers and educators from around the world are using parts of these samples to learn more about our universe and our Earth. So if we're about to send another pair of humans to the moon, I would really like to tell them which types of samples of rocks they should be looking out for. And different rocks have different properties and different sizes. And so if we can kind of start to narrow down which types of rocks and how much of each rock these astronauts should be looking out for, then maybe we can enable more research here on Earth. It's not a quick trip to go get more, so we want to get it right. So what I've done for you is I've taken this entire table of samples and I've converted it into a CSV file, or comma separated value file. Let's take a look. In this data folder, which you'll find linked in the Learn module itself, remember that's at aka.ms/learnwithdrg/overthemoon, we have a CSV file. I've called it rocksamples.csv. And in here, you'll see that it's got the rock sample ID, the mission that it came from, the type and subtype of that sample, the total weight that was originally collected, and the percentage of that sample that still remains today. So this is the data we have to work with. You can see this is a very large CSV file with 2,230 lines in it. So 2,229 samples. So let's start to explore this data. First, we need to actually get the data into our coding environment. So I'm going to create a variable called rock samples, and I'm going to read in the data from that CSV file. I'm going to use the pandas library. So I'm going to say pd.readcsv, and I'm going to pass the file name into this function call as a parameter. So what this is going to do is it's going to take those 230 lines in that CSV file and save them in this variable called rock samples. Let's go ahead and run this cell and make sure that it works. Awesome. But how do we know it worked? One of my favorite lines of code when I'm doing any kind of data science is this one, rocksamples.ped. And what this does is it allows me to see the first five lines of that variable. What I haven't told you yet is that rock samples is of type data frame. So pandas has this type called data frame, and it's essentially a table. It's a 2D set of data. We've got the first row, which is the column names. We've got the first column, which is like the row ID. And then we've got all the data in between. You can kind of think about it like a big Excel doc or just a table. We can see that the first five lines here match the first five lines in our CSV file. 10,001, Apollo 11, soil unsieved. 10,001, Apollo 11, soil unsieved. Another really useful function call is the info function call, rocksamples.info. What this does is gives us an overview of all of the data that's in that data frame. We can see that each of our columns have 229 non-null values, meaning there's no missing data in this data frame. That's a really important part of data science, because the very first thing that you need to do is cleanse your data so that you know that the information you're drawing from that data is accurate. So we know that we have a full data set here. We can see that the ID is of type integer, which is just basically a whole number. That mission type and subtype are of type object. We know that they are strings or words. And we know that weight and pristine are of type float, which basically means they have a decimal on them. All right, let's start getting into manipulating data. I don't know about you, but when I first heard that data scientists manipulate data, I thought that sounded a little fishy. It's not. Really, it's just making sure that your data is accurately represented. So as you recall, I was saying that we want to compare how many samples the Apollo missions brought back to how many we think the Artemis missions in 2024 can bring back. The only thing we really know about the Artemis missions today is we think we know about the sizes and weights of the spaceships that are actually going to be carrying the astronauts. We also know that about the Apollo missions, and we know the rock samples that were brought back. Weight of the rocket ships are calculated in kilograms, and our rock samples are currently saved as grams. So the first thing that we want to do is convert all of the weights of our rock samples into kilograms. So then that way we can have kind of an apples to apples comparison here. All right, so what have we done here? Let's take this code apart a little bit. So the first thing that we see is we're saying that the column rock samples weight G, remember that was a column, we can see that here. That was one of our column names. We want that column to have its data replaced with whatever's on the other side of this equal sign. Okay? Now let's take a look at what's on the other side of that equal sign. Basically, what we're saying is we want to take that column again, rock samples, weight G, and we want to apply some kind of function to every single value in that column. So what this apply function is going to do is for each row in the column weight G, it's going to apply the following function to that value. Let's take a look at what that function is. The function is this lambda x times 0.001. This is the function that we want to apply to each value in that column. And what I'm saying is, I'm going to take the input x, which is the value at each row in that column. And what I want that to now be is that same value x, but times 0.001. So this is basically converting the grams to kilograms. Then the next line is basically just renaming the weight G column to weight kg. So then that way, when we're looking at our data, our column name accurately represents what our data is. And the last piece here is this in place equals true, because we want to make sure that we don't have multiple columns, that we just have that one weight G column, but it's now called weight KG. And then we're just going to print out the first five lines again. So if we compare this, now we see that the very first sample is 0.1258 kilograms, whereas when we initially printed it out, it was 125.8 grams. This is where the cell execution number really matters, because as you can see, this table here is actually the same data from here. It's like the same view, but this view up here is old. So if we kind of keep going down and then we want to reference data from above, we really want to pay attention to these numbers here. This one is a 3 versus this one here is a 5, because that is going to be the most recent and accurate data. All right, so now we've manipulated our data, which really just means that we've converted some of our data into a data that is more meaningful for the question that we're asked. Now, while I was doing research for this, I found out that each of the Apollo missions used slightly different ships for their missions. So the next thing I want to do is I want to separate all of our rock samples according to their missions. Right now, our rock samples just has all of the missions from Apollo 11 to Apollo 17. And I want to make sure that I can separate those out so I can start to aggregate numbers here. So I'm going to create another variable called missions, and I want this one to also be a data frame. And what I want to do is I want to grab all of the missions that are unique from rock samples. So I'm going to say it like that first, write out the code. But what this line has done is it's saying I want to create a new column in the missions data frame called mission. Oh, and I've got a typo here. And I want the values, all of the rows in that column, to be only the unique values from the mission column in rock samples. So if we were to hypothesize here, it would just be Apollo 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Let's make sure that's true. Now, we can't see all of them. It only went up to 16, but that's because we're only printing the top five. If we did mission.info here, we can see that it does, missions. We can see that there are six rows in it, not just five. And if you wanted to, because we know that there's only six, we can actually just print out the entire missions data frame. Now we can see Apollo 17. Alternatively, you could do missions.head and then type in six and print that, and that would give you the top six. All right, so now we know that we've got this missions data frame, and all it has right now is one column called mission that has each of the mission names. So now what I want to do is I want to know how much total sample was brought back per mission. So remember, our rock samples data frame is each individual sample. I want to know for all of Apollo 11, how much sample was brought back. All right, so what does this code say? Basically, what we're going to do is create a new variable called sample total weight. And I want to store in that variable the following. From the rock samples data frame, I want to group by mission. So that means, again, rock samples has a bunch of Apollo 11s, a bunch of Apollo 12s, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to group by Apollo 11 and then group by Apollo 12 and 14 and 15, 16, and 17. And then I want to, after I've grouped, I want to grab only the weight column and I want to sum everything in that column. So then for Apollo 11, I would have the sum of the weight of all samples. And for Apollo 12, the sum of the weight of all of those, et cetera, et cetera. So then sample total weight is basically a very simplified data frame that's just got the mission name, Apollo 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, and the sum of its weight. So now I've got two data frames. I've got missions and sample total weight. Each of them have a mission column. And what I'm saying here is I want to merge those two on the column mission. Now, the missions data frame doesn't have any other data. It just has the missions. But we're trying to kind of build this up. So I want to merge it on missions. So then it's going to look at Apollo 11, and put the sum into the missions. And we're saying that we want to save that in the missions data frame. And then I'm just going to rename the column from weight kg to sample weight kg, because for each mission, I'm going to have other weights that I care about related to the spacecraft. So we can see that Apollo 11 brought back 21.5 kilograms of samples, Apollo 12, 34.34, et cetera, et cetera. So this is how much each Apollo mission brought back. This is where data science starts to get interesting. I started to just explore this on my own. I started to think, well, what might be different between these missions? I know that the rockets changed. So did that affect how much sample could be brought back? So I wanted to get the difference between each mission and how much sample weight they could bring back. So let's get that data. What this line does is it's basically going to use this handy dandy diff function here. And it's going to say for the sample weight column of the missions data frame, I just want to get a diff. And a diff is just the difference. And it's going to make the assumption that you want the difference between the row above it. And it's going to save that data in a new column called weight diff. So we can see that Apollo 12 had 12.78 more kilograms of sample than Apollo 11, et cetera, et cetera. We do have this value NaN here. NaN is a not a number type. And basically it just means, look, I can't get the diff between Apollo 11 and the previous mission because there's no previous mission. There's no previous row. And we can get rid of that NaN because for me, I want to make sure all of my data is in integer or float or object type, not this NaN type, because that can cause issues if I'm going to try to do math later on. So here what we're doing is we're looking at that weight diff column again, and we're saying I want you to fill any NA or like null or not a number values. I want to fill anything that is that NaN value with the value zero. So now it's replaced with zero. All right, so you can start to see that what we're doing here is we're really just experimenting with our data. Remember, you can find that module at aka.ms/learnwithdrg/overthemoon. So this next bit is I'm just gathering all of the data from the Apollo rocket sizes and weights, and I'm going to put that into our missions data frame. So I got this data from this website here, and basically I have two modules for a spacecraft. We have the lunar module and the command module. The command module is the module that maintains orbit around the moon, while the lunar module dispatches from there and lands on the moon and then brings the astronauts back to the command module when it's done. One person is always on the command module orbiting the moon, and two people go onto the lunar module and get onto the moon and can walk around the moon. Both of these modules are really important for rock samples because we need to get the rock samples from the moon's surface up to the command module, which the lunar module is going to impact that, and then from the command module all the way down to Earth, and the command module is going to affect that. So now we can see that our data frame has a bunch of other columns in it related to the type and weight of the lunar and command modules. Similar to our samples, I also want to get the diff between each of the missions because maybe that plays a role. I'm not exactly sure. So first, I'm going to get the total weight of the lunar and command module for each mission, and then I'm going to get the diff of that total weight and save those both into two columns. Now, this is where I encourage you to like go through this data, actually look through it, see if you're finding anything interesting, explore it in interesting ways. We're going to quickly go through the way I decided to explore it, though. And that's why I love these, because this isn't about just you doing exactly what I told you to do and there you go, it works. This is really about me giving you some tools so that you can go explore things on your own. Maybe there's data out there that you think is more interesting and you want to explore that. So I encourage you to do that. So this next bit of code was interesting because I started to think about, okay, so we've got the sample weights, we've got the command module and the lunar module weights. What about how much weight the rocket could have propelled up to get it out of the atmosphere in the first place? Because I imagine that the weights of the modules probably are related to how much the rocket could have gotten up. And if that's related, then that's probably related to how much we can bring back. I'm not a rocket scientist, but this is kind of the way I was thinking about it. So I looked it up, and all of the Apollo missions use the Saturn V rocket, which has a payload of 43,500 kilograms. So basically, that's how much weight the Saturn V rocket can get out into the atmosphere. So I just did some quick calculations of crewed area, basically means the two modules, the areas where the crew would be staying in. And the ratio for each of the missions from the crewed area to the payload, from the sample weight of all of the rocks to the crewed area, and then from the sample weight to the payload, just to kind of see if those ratios can be something that we apply to the Artemis missions. All right, so we can see over here that we've got these ratios that might be useful if we have any information about the Artemis either payload or crewed area weights. Maybe we can use these ratios to determine how much sample they can bring back. And then there are six different missions that happened, and I decided that I wanted to just get the average of these because I think that's going to be the most useful number for me as I try to predict how much samples the Artemis mission can bring back. So this is the average ratios that I want to pay attention to. So next, I started to get some data from the Artemis missions themselves. Now, we don't actually know a lot about these yet. The Artemis mission is something that's happening in the future in 2024. The first woman and next man will step foot onto the moon again. The Artemis missions, there are going to be multiple of them. So far, what I could find was that the two modules that are planning that are planned to be used so far are going to be the same. And that may not be exactly true by the time we get there, but that's the data that I could find today. So the weight of those crude areas, based on information that I could find today, is 26,520 kilograms. So I can start to create an Artemis mission data frame that has some of this information in it. I also know from looking around online and inside of the Learn module, I have links to this, but I also know the payloads expected for each of the rockets used. Now, this is interesting because the payloads for the Artemis missions will actually be different because the goals of the mission are different. Some parts of the Artemis mission are to just land onto the moon with crew. Some are to bring cargo to the moon. And some are to start to experiment with how we might get from the moon to Mars. So the payloads are going to be slightly different. For the first crewed Artemis mission, we expect the payload to be around 26,988 kilograms. For the second crewed Artemis mission, we expect the payload to be around 37,965 kilograms. And for the third one, we expect it to be 42,955 kilograms. And since we have the ratios of payload and crewed area weights to samples, we can start to estimate how much sample the Artemis missions might be able to bring back. So we can see that if we're gathering the sample weight based on the total crewed area weight, then we can bring back about 76 kilograms of sample. And if we're basing it off of the payload, then it varies between 38 kilograms and 61 kilograms. And then this code here is just doing a little bit more math to get the estimated sample weight based on some averages between the two ratios that we used from the sample weight total and from the crewed area total and the payload total. So we can see that it's between 57 kilograms and 69 kilograms that each of the missions can bring back. All right, but remember, what we wanted to do was we wanted to make sure that the astronauts were bringing back the right samples. So that's when we need to go back to our rock samples data frame and start to figure out how much of the samples are left on Earth pristine. So let's gather that information. We're going to create a new column in the rock samples data frame called remaining kilograms. And based on the original weight that was brought back, which is in weight kilograms column, and the pristine percentage, we're going to save that data inside of the remaining kilograms column. So we can see here that, for example, this first sample, we had 0.1258 kilograms originally. We have 88.36% of that sample left. And so that means that we have 0.111157 kilograms remaining. And we did that for all of the rows. Now, one pandas function that I haven't introduced you to yet is the describe function. The describe function is really useful because it gives you an overview of your data that's represented in numbers. So we've got three columns now in the original, and an ID, but we're gonna ignore that one. We have three columns in the original rock samples data frame that were numbers of some sort. The weight, the pristine percentage, and the remaining. And we can get the mean and standard deviation, min, 25, 50, and 75%, and max of each of these columns from all of the rows. So for example, the average amount of remaining sample left is 0.138103 kilograms. The average weight of the original samples was only 0.168253, though one of the samples that was brought back was 11.729 kilograms. That's a big sample. And we can see that most of the samples have, or the average rate of samples have 84% left of their sample. So we're doing pretty good. We're preserving those samples pretty well, it seems like. But we can start to use this to determine which samples might be at risk for not having enough to do research on Earth. So these numbers I took totally at my own discretion. Feel free to play around with these, but what I'm going to do is create a new data frame called low samples. And this is going to contain all of the samples that are, we don't have a lot left of it. And I want to, from the rock samples data frame, I want to locate any of the rows where the rock sample column, sorry, the weight column is greater than or equal to 0.16. Okay. And I'm choosing that number because the weight column, the average for the weight was 0.16. Okay. So I want only the samples that were at least the average weight. Anything that was below that, it's probably going to be really, really small and hard to find. And so I don't really want to deal with those samples. I just want to get anything that is the average weight and heavier. And that's that and right there. And from the rock samples, I want to get anything where the amount left on Earth is less than or equal to 50%. So any samples that are greater than or equal to 0.16 kilograms, where we don't have or where we've used at least 50% of it so far. So we can start to see here that, for example, this sample, it's a basalt, and it was originally a 0.973 kilogram sample. We only have 43% of it left, meaning we only have 0.42 kilograms left, which means that more than 50% of it has been used for research or educational purposes or whatever it might be. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm really curious how many samples fall within this category. So I'm going to use that info function. And we can see that there's only 27 samples. So we've, again, are preserving these samples pretty well. And don't forget, you can change these, this 50% and this 0.16, or use other things if you want to qualify what samples we might want to prioritize. This is just what I chose. I'm going to use that unique function call that we used earlier to determine which types of rock samples are low. So we can see that there are four types that are low. There's the basalt, the breccia, soil, and core. We can compare that to the original rock samples and see that there's also special and crustal that seem to not fall into our low samples criteria. Now, we only have 27 samples in our low samples data frame. And I'm curious how many, like, what is that distribution like? So we can use the group by and count functions here. So what we're going to do is in the low samples data frame, we're going to group by type. Remember, when we group by, basically, we're going to look at that type column and we're going to put all the basalts together, all of the breccia together, all of the soil together, and all of the core together. Then I'm going to look for each of those groups at the weight column and I'm going to count how many are there. Now, I could have looked at any column, to be honest, because count isn't looking at the value, it's just counting the rows. So I can see here that we've got 14 basalt, 8 breccia, 1 core, and 4 soil. Now, considering we will probably always grab soil and core, and our exact weight measurements are probably not accurate, and they can probably bring back a lot more than that, I'm going to just leave out core and soil because that's probably going to be covered. And I want to focus on the breccia and basalt types. So I'm going to create a new data frame called needed samples. And this is going to take from the low samples data frame only the rows where type, the value in the type column, is one of these two, the basalt or the breccia. So we can see that now we only have 22 samples because we left out the 5 that were from core or soil. I'm also just curious how much of these exact samples we originally brought back. So remember, these are just the samples where we've used over 50% of them and they were originally more than 0.16 kilograms. And originally we had 17 kilograms and 10 kilograms of the basalt and breccia, which then sparked my curiosity. How much of each of the different types of samples did we originally bring back? Because we haven't even explored that yet. We were looking at the different missions, but not the different types of samples. So again, we can group by type and we can sum the weight column for each type. And we can see that the basalt and breccia, we brought a lot of that back. One thing though, is that we didn't bring a lot of the crustal type back. which might mean it's harder to find. It might mean that they're smaller in general because we didn't capture them with that 0.16 minimum weight. I'm not exactly sure, but that seems like a type that we might want to include here. Since there was not a lot of that in the first place, I'm just going to go ahead and add all of the crustal type into our needed samples. So I'm going to append, meaning add to the bottom of this data frame, more rows. Any of the rows from the rock samples data frame where the type column matches crustal. So we added 46 new rows to our needed samples column, giving us a total of 68 samples that we think we might need, or at least kind of profiles of samples that we've used a lot. Okay, so why do we create all these data frames? Basically, each of them is a different view into our data based on either just kind of cutting our data in interesting ways or applying functions to our data. And we're finally at the point where I want to give just one high-level overview to the astronauts to say, these are the samples that we want. So let's build out that data frame. This one is our needed samples overview data frame, and it's going to have the first column be the type of sample. I'm making the assumption that astronauts are trained on the different types of moon rocks, and so we're going to grab all of the different types of moon rocks that we want them to gather, and hopefully they'll know how to look out for those ones. So right now our data frame just has three rows in it. It's basalt, breccia, and crustal. Next, I'm going to let them know how much of each of those types of samples we think we want back. So the first thing that I'm going to do is from our needed samples data frame, I'm going to group by type, and then I'm going to sum the weight. And reset index basically is just going to allow us to do a merge easier. So when we do our merge, we're going to merge our needed samples overview, which just has these here, to our needed sample weights, which is the one we just created here, and we're going to merge on type. Then we're going to rename the columns from weight to total weight. Because remember, this isn't the weight of each sample, it's the sum of the weight of the samples. All right, so this is the amount of sample that we originally gathered for basalt, breccia, and crustal that we think, like, maybe we want to at least get that much of each of them again. We know it's possible to get this much, so let's try to at least get that much. Now, it's not going to be super useful for the astronauts to know the total weight because each rock, each sample itself, that's going to be what they're looking for. So we want to give them an idea of the size of rock that they should be looking for each type. So again, we're going to go through our needed samples data frame. We're going to group by type. We're going to get the average weight. We're going to merge that into our needed samples overview and rename the column to average weight. So now we can see that the basalt, we would like a total of 17 kilograms, and the average weight is 1.2. For breccia, 10 and 1.2. And for crustal, 4.7 and 0.1. Now, this is again where domain expertise probably makes more sense to apply here. I am not a rocket scientist. Again, I am not a moon rock scientist or specialist. But in my head, logically, it makes sense to think about how much of these samples, like what percentage of the total amount of samples were each of these samples representing? Because that's probably the highest likelihood of them being able to find those ones. So what I've done here is I am basically just counting each type of sample that was originally collected. Okay, so that very first line, basically what we're saying is group by type of rock and just count how many were in each type. I'm going to add that count to my needed samples overview. And then what I want to do, I'll rename it from number of samples. But then what I want to do is I want to see how many total rocks were collected from our needed samples. Okay, so we're going to count how many there are. We're going to merge them over. And then we want to say from our needed samples overview, how many number of samples were collected total just from basalt, crustal, and breccia. and decide how much of each type of rock we might want to collect. I don't know if that explanation was very good. Let's just see what happens here. All right. So we originally collected 351 samples of basalt, 959 samples of breccia, and 46 samples of krustal. And so our needed samples, if we're only collecting these three, then 25% of our samples should be basalt, 70% should be breccia, and 0.3% should be krustal. Now, remember above, we did create a data frame with our Artemis samples and what we thought we would need to collect from each of those Artemis missions. Right here, Artemis mission. And we had the total weight payload and then how much estimated sample weight we would want to collect from there. So I want to grab this estimated sample weight column from this Artemis mission here. So the Artemis average weight, so for all of the Artemis missions, this is just going to be one number. For the estimated sample weight, let's get the average of those weights. So on average, we want each mission to bring back 64.22 kilograms of sample. So now basically what we can do is we can specify how much weight of each type of sample we want the missions all together, that all of the Artemis missions to collect, or each of them to collect, and how many of those types we want them to collect. So for basalt, we would like them to collect 16.6 kilograms, which should be about 13.35 rocks. For breccia, we want them to collect 45.4 kilograms, which should be about 35.9 rocks. And for krustal, we want them to collect 2.17 kilograms, which should be about 21 rocks. So if you were to add up the weight to collect column, it would equal that 64.22. And the rocks to collect is just basically a function of how much weight we can and the average weight of each type of rock. So there you have it. I'm going to send this table to NASA and let them know that they should be looking out for these types of rocks. Get me 13 basalts and I'll be happy. I don't actually know if that would be super helpful to NASA, so maybe we'll just keep it within ourselves for now. But this is the way that we would cleanse and manipulate data to gain understanding. So let's do a really, really, really quick recap. So what we started with was a huge data set of each sample that was collected across the six Apollo missions that landed on the moon. We also grabbed the information that we know about the rockets and the spaceships from the Apollo missions and the Artemis missions. We did some math. We gained some understanding by exploring the sample data and exploring the rocket data. And we came up with this conclusion of, or recommendation, that this is what we think astronauts might want to collect on the Artemis missions. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of information we don't know today. There might be other types of rocks that we've since discovered. There might be other implications of research that core actually really does matter a lot more, and we don't even want rocks anymore. We just want core. I don't know all of those details because I am not a subject matter expert. But what I hope you've learned today is that with publicly available information, with data sets that you could collect yourself, you can really start to understand and gain insight from this data just with some lines of code and some simple multiplications and divisions. Pandas and Python, when it relates to data science, can be a little tricky sometimes. So it's all about practice. That's what I love about doing it in these notebooks and Visual Studio Code. My original notebook was a lot messier than this. I created 10 million more data frames and tried it this way and added more columns. And, you know, here we told a clear, concise story, but I want to hear about your stories. I want to hear how you explored the data, what other data sources you grabbed, and what other insights that you've managed to acquire through this exploration through data. And I got all of that simply from that one short 15-second scene when Feifei is flying to the moon and then discovers that Chin is on her spacecraft and it's falling out of the sky. it just made me think about all of the decisions and data and expertise that goes into designing rockets and designing spaceships and figuring out what astronauts are going to do when they do step foot on the moon. All of the training, all of the information, it's just mind-boggling to me and just so incredibly exciting. So I hope that the kind of exploration through this data inspired you to answer other questions or try to find other data sources. And I invite you to watch Over the Moon and see if any snippets from that film inspire you to go on other data journeys completely separate from safe rocket exploration and moon rock discovery. I just want you to draw your own inspiration for your own types of questions that you want to answer. Don't forget to check out the Learn modules on aka.ms/learnwithdrg/overthemoon. The next two episodes of Learn with Dr. G will also be on these Learn modules, one on meteor showers and one on image recognition using Azure Cognitive Services. So I hope you check those out. And please don't hesitate to reach out to me on Twitter at Dr. Guthels and use the hashtag LearnWithDrG if you want to share some of the discoveries that you found with data after honing your technical skills around data science and Python. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'll see you next time.